Tom, firstly, thanks for talking to the Aston Villa supporters.
Sure, good
through,
to see you, Tom.
Through Free Radio. Firstly, been in a while now. Just what's your overall observations since you've arrived at the club?
Well, I'm not sure I have been here a while. I've been here a little over 3 months. And it seems sometimes like I've been here for a much longer period of time. My observations have been that this is very much the opportunity I thought it was when I took the job. I thought this was a fantastic club that had great support and had all the ingredients to be competing at a level that it maybe hadn't lived up to in the last few years. And I've seen all of those things since I've been here. As I said very early in my tenure here, this is a club that I think deserves to be up near the top, certainly in the upper third of the Premier League. And everything I've seen indicates that there's a way for us to get there, and I'm excited about that.
The fans will be delighted to hear that. They have their own expectations. How do you satisfy the fans' expectations?
Well, it's interesting because we were just talking, the results lately have been much better, and I get far fewer emails from our fans with suggestions of support or otherwise when the results are good. But interestingly, what we've been working on since I arrived are the exact same things, whether the results are good and not going our way or whether they are going our way, which they have been recently. We are working very hard on building a football infrastructure that can get us back to where we deserve to be, and we're working very hard as a club to make the right hires and create the right types of plans on the business side to get us where we need to be. And those things don't change. And I think what's interesting is neither one of them are very sexy to talk about, and both of them aren't very visible to the fans. So what I would tell the fans who have great expectations for the club really is that we share them. Both the owner, myself, and everyone at the club wants this club to get back to a place where it deserves to be. We want the fans ultimately to be proud, and we are working on the things that will get us there. They're just not very visible, and unfortunately they aren't things that lead to results immediately, within a week, in much the way that the results on the pitch do.
Explain how the infrastructure and the business plan, how will that get Villa back to where you want them to be?
You know, the story I tell is that when the club was having success in 9 and 10, actually quite recently, actually what was happening at that time was the business of football had already changed, and it was about to make huge leaps forward. Many clubs had been investing up to that point, and they were about to put their foot on the gas and move into a completely different place. Our club wasn't making those same investments at the same time. We were making investments in the squad. The owner was very committed to building the squad and trying to compete in that way. But what we weren't doing was building the underlying infrastructure necessary to capitalize on the success that we were having in 09 and 010. And consequently, what happened was everyone else took off from the starting line, and we were sort of left standing there. And what's happened the last 3 or 4 years is really a consequence of the lack of investment probably 4 or 5 years prior to that. What we're doing today is trying to build a structure around the football club that allows us to ultimately make better decisions around the players we bring in at whatever age group that is, and allow us to better develop the talent that we have and get them from youth into the first team, or get players that are coming in at a senior level and get them into a place where they can play the system that we're looking to play. And on the business side, what we're doing is making investments that will put this club in a position to capitalize on the power of Aston Villa, the club. Right now, we're in the Premier League, which is the most successful league in the world, and we're able to monetize that fact on a global basis. But what we're not getting enough value for is the pedigree of Aston Villa. What I call that claret thread that runs through the English game from the time the Football League was created till the time the Premier League was created until today. We have a deserved place in this league, and we're making the investments we think necessary to get there.
I think that's admirable, and Aston Villa are one of the biggest names in British football. There are a lot of very big names floundering in divisions below that will say, we think we're a big name as well. So it is more than just the business plan, isn't it? Because the game is about players, surely.
Well, look, you can't afford the type of squad you need to compete in the Premier League if you're not generating the revenue on your own. I think many of those clubs you refer to or potentially we're referring to, are clubs that don't know how to build a sustainable business to fund that. Football is changing, and the days of the wealthy benefactor funding the club far beyond the club's ability to sustain itself, those days are increasingly becoming a thing of the past at the very top of the game, but certainly in the middle level where we're playing in the Premier League right now. And we're trying to build an infrastructure and a commercial business here that will sustain this club without the need for an owner to come in and invest money that the club could never hope to generate. And we can do that. We can put ourselves in a position where we're generating the seventh or eighth most revenue within the Premier League. And if we do that and we spend that money well, which we're confident we can do on the back of the changes we're making within the football setup, we'll find ourselves in that place where we're in the seventh or eighth spot competing for cups and putting ourselves back in a place where we're playing the type of football and competing in a way that our fans are proud.
Solid concrete foundations rather than the movable sand where people can sink. So you're going to build a business that's fundamental, will raise enough money, will be an important part of football. But there is a gulf between that, which is absolutely necessary, and one would understand that. But from that business side, for fans, it's about history, it's about tradition, it's about family, mm-hmm. it's about my granddad was a Villa fan and my granddad's dad was a Villa fan and so on and so forth. You've got to deal with that as well.
Yeah.
And they don't pay too much heed to that, the other side of it, that you're very responsible for.
Look, we don't just have to deal with that. That other side, that is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. That is why the club is here. I talk about pride, and I don't talk about it lightly. This club is here for its supporters and its fans, and increasingly those fans are global. They're in international markets as well. They want to feel proud of the football club, proud of its history, mm-hmm. Proud of its present, and proud of where it's going. But that is what this is all about. I talk about the business side of the club only to try to give people a line of sight into how we're going to achieve those things. We need to be running a business that is fit for purpose in 2014. You've got to understand, we are in the most successful sports league in the world, and sports is one of the most competitive and challenging businesses and industries anywhere in the world. This is a very difficult job that we have. But everything we're doing at Villa Park and everything we're doing at Bodymore Heath is designed to put a product out on that pitch that makes our global fan base proud and gives them moments that they can share with their children and grandchildren going forward.
So it's a little bit chicken and egg. You want to be successful, but to be successful, the business side has to be right.
The business side has to be right. It absolutely does. We do all of the things we're doing on the business side in order to achieve the goals on the football pitch. And as I said, it's a competitive business. If we're not thinking for the future, if we're not planning in a very smart way about how to build that business, we're not going to put the club in a position where we can do on the pitch what will make our fans proud.
So what do you do then about, for example, if the fans will look at the Sheikh Mansour's and all the rest of it, which creates a false environment really for football supporters. You're not in that league, so what's your aim for Aston Villa? What's yours and Randy's aim for Aston Villa? Is it, to quote what I told you before, to be the best of the rest?
Yeah, I don't buy that phrase, because I don't define the rest maybe the same way you do. Aston Villa is a club, as I've mentioned, that has a fantastic pedigree in the game, and we need to maximize the opportunity that's available to us given where we sit and given the history of this great club and the power of the club brand. I can see a path in the next 3 to 5 years that will put us in a position where we're seventh or eighth in the Premier League in terms of the revenue that we can generate. If we do that and spend that money well, that will put us in a place where we're competing in that range of the Premier League on a consistent basis, competing in the domestic cups, and possibly finding ourselves with a place in Europe. That's where I think we can get to in the next 3 to 5 years. Right now, Tom, we're not even within touching distance of those top clubs. We can't even see them from where we are, but we should be able to. We used to. We used to sit and look right and left and see all of those clubs as our peer group. Right now, they're out of sight. Mm-hmm. With the right type of investment at Bodymore Heath and the right investment commercially, we can put ourselves back in a place where we can at least see them. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we can determine how we might close that gap.
You've come from a club, very successful, Arsenal, unbelievably successful and well run as well. How does any club get into that top bracket? how does any club, and this is aside from Aston, I'm not talking about Villa getting them there,
yeah.
I'm asking you as somebody who's come from one of those clubs, how does anybody break into that?
Well, it's interesting. There's been a couple of clubs over the last 8 years that have taken the very direct route of investing £1 billion to try to put themselves there. And I think, you know, there's rules and regulations in the Premier League and at the UEFA level that sort of take that avenue away. I think to put yourself in that company, you have to put a business plan in place that gets you there. You know, again, I will talk about the business, but it's really all about the football. You have to have a business that takes advantage of the opportunity to build your club brand and monetize it in the right way. And that's what those big clubs have done. Back before anyone was doing, was making the type of investments or writing the plans that I'm talking about, Manchester United was investing heavily in their people and creating a huge commercial infrastructure and going into the market and speaking in a very different way. Arsenal went on that journey over the past 5 years, investing in people and the infrastructure necessary to go into the marketplace and sell effectively the opportunity that they presented to sponsors. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing right now at Aston Villa. We're talking to partners all the time about this journey, about awakening the sleeping giant that is Aston Villa. And we know we're talking to the right partner when I see their heads nod and they understand that getting Villa back to where it deserves to be is something they want to be a part of. And we know we're not talking to the right company when they get a blank look on their face and they don't really understand. And thankfully, when we're out in the market talking to partners, we're getting a lot of people very interested in getting Villa back to where it needs to be.
How long is this going to take?
Well, I've said earlier in the conversation, I can see this happening in the next three to five years, mm-hmm. putting ourselves in a much more solid financial position, competing on a much more regular basis in a position in the Premier League, which is familiar to Villa.
What about the short term? Where are we in the short term? Because obviously, over the last season or two, they flirted a little bit with the wrong end of the table.
Sure.
And for a club with your plans, Villa have to be in the Premier League. They couldn't afford not to be.
Sure. Look, as I said before, this is a very competitive business. And the things I'm saying we're going to do are going to require a lot of work by a lot of people at the club. And I think we've got some of the pieces in place, and we're adding some of them. But it's a challenge. I understand that. As I look at the squad today, you know, and there's Paul and Randy and Patty Riley, who's our director of recruiting, who's just joined us from Liverpool. As we sit down and talk about the squad, I think we actually feel very comfortable about the squad we've got right now. Yes, we've had some uneven results this year, but we've had injuries to very key positions within the squad. You know, clubs the size of Aston Villa don't have the deepest of squads generally. And when you lose key players in key positions, that's going to affect clubs of our size. And how we find our way through that is really the challenge. But actually, now that those players are coming back, I think we feel very confident about the squad we've got to get us into this through this season in a reasonable place and give us something to build on. Because as I said before, Tom, all the things we're doing are happening behind the scenes. They're not that visible to the supporters, and I understand that. But they are happening, and that fans should feel comfortable that we are moving in a different direction. And I hope they do feel comfortable that those things are going to take us where we need to go.
Those injuries, nobody wants them, but they have been beneficial in that now all of a sudden a couple of stars have emerged in Kieran Clarke and Juris Okoro. They've emerged. So all of a sudden your squad looks stronger when the others are fit.
I mean, that's one of, again, you always have to look at the positives. And I can remember sitting at QPR and I came away from that game thinking Carlos Sanchez really came into his own. And that was the first time he'd really started to play and demonstrate the type of player he was. So there were positives there. And you always have to look, as I said, for the positives. And Kieran and Joris have been fantastic for us the last few weeks. Yes, called into action due to injury, but we've got a really strong back five, I think, right now. And that's really helped us. Look, even Matty Loughton came in when, you know, when Alan Hutton was injured, and I think we feel very comfortable about the squad. Certainly at the back, we feel great about our scoring potential up front, and our midfield has one of the best engines in the Premier League. The work rate that our players put in and the shift that they put in, I think, should tell the fans that these players are playing hard for this club, and I'm encouraged by it.
We're moving on, and it would be remiss of me not to ask about January, because fans are looking to see if there's going to be any improvement in the squad in January. Do you and Paul have a plan? Is there a budget and all those sort of things for improving the squad?
You know, I talked before about the investments that we're making at Bodymore, and what I can tell you is that whether we do something or we do nothing, it will be the result of much more purposeful discussions around who might be out there. You know, as I said, we've got a much deeper scouting network now. We've got a data analyst, and we have a dialogue that's now happening between the owner, the manager, the director of recruiting, and myself. Mm-hmm. And so if we think there's someone in January who can benefit us in the short term and the long term, the owner is prepared to fund that, because I think he's much more confident in the process around identifying who that player would be and where that player would fit into the long-term planning of the squad. At this point, I can't tell you whether anything's mm-hmm. going to happen, but I can tell you that we're all much more confident about our ability to make really good, solid decisions and plan for the future, whether it's January or next summer.
But there'll be no Band-Aid signings, no signings just because it's January. If they'll improve and if it's the right one, then you're prepared to look at it.
Absolutely. And I think if it's the right one and it looks to be a move that will benefit us in the long term, I think we're encouraged by the progress the squad has made now that we've got our first choice selections coming back in some key positions. Fabian will be back soon. He's obviously an important player for us. I think we feel very confident about the squad's ability this year to continue our progression up the table. But we're always looking for good talent, and we're planning now 2-3 years out.
The fans have made it clear they've not been enamoured with Paul recently. You know, it's different for people like myself who get the opportunity to talk to him week in, week out. They've not been enamoured. What would you say to those fans?
You know, one of the things that Paul did when I first came in that impressed me, and one of the qualities he has that I know is the reason that he and our owner have such a great relationship, is he's an incredibly honest guy. He has one of the things that we talked about early on, he has a very honest assessment of the squad and where the squad is today. He wasn't trying to paint a picture of something that wasn't really happening, and I appreciated that honesty. The club made a strategic decision when it hired Paul Lambert and believed at the time that was the right decision. We believe that today as much as we did when we hired him. You know, it won't surprise you. I have a 29-year business background. You don't make changes to your most important position lightly. And we believe continuity is incredibly important, and especially important now with all of the changes we're making at the training ground, with all of the changes we're looking to make commercially at the club. Continuity in that position is fundamentally important, and it's aided greatly by the fact that we believe in him as a manager, and I trust him.
The most important relationship at the club is between either the chairman and the manager, or in your case, the chief exec and the manager. That relationship has to work.
It does, absolutely. And I think what you have to have, as I've explained, is a dialogue that's deeper than chairman to manager. And I think what we have now with Paul, Randy, myself, and Patty Riley is we have a great dialogue of people with different backgrounds and different perspectives. Look, on a personal note, I traveled to Dortmund with Paul, a place where he has obviously had massive...
Well-respected as well.
Incredibly well-respected. And I was able to spend time with him in that environment. And we have a terrific relationship. You know, I haven't spent my whole career in football, but I have learned a bit about the game, and I know enough to trust someone who's got the pedigree that he has in the game and the qualities that he has. And as I said before, he's built a great level of trust up with our owner, and he and I have developed a good trusting relationship. So I'm very positive about what we can do with him here as our manager.
What about Randy now? And because the Villa fans are saying, listen, there's a bit of uncertainty. The club's up for sale. You know, I think everybody likes stability. Everybody likes to know what's happening. What's the latest situation?
Yeah, I think, look, no one is more excited about what's happening at this club right now than me. I came in here believing this was a great opportunity, and I have seen everything I thought I was going to see. And I think what's happened is, you know, my enthusiasm has been contagious because I described a couple of months ago when I first started that Randy was engaged and enthusiastic about what was happening, and it's even more so today. We are talking on a regular basis. He's talking to the manager. He's talking to the head of recruiting. He's very, very involved in what's happening here, and I think it's because he sees how excited I am about this opportunity. You know, first and foremost, he is a fan. He bought this club because he believed in it, and he's a fan. It's been as painful for him for the past four seasons as it has been for the fans, other fans of the club. And I think he's really excited because he knows everything that's happening behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. He sees the progress that we're making, whether it's recruiting a new chief commercial officer, whether it's finally building a scouting network that will give us the types of recruiting, the types of access to player recruiting stats that we need. Any of those things, he's got an opportunity to see that, and I think that's what's making him so engaged and so excited now.
Rekindle his love affair?
Seems like it. It seems like it to me. I mean, it's all I've ever known of him. I met him in July, and he was starting to get more enthused. And since I've come in, he's been really engaged. And you know, on a personal note, as I've said before, I came here to work for him, but I've been really supported by him since I've been here. It's been great.
What about, you mentioned the training ground. Tell us a little bit about the changes there, because it's one of the best in the country, and the academy system's one of the best, the kids that have been brought through. What are the changes you're making?
That's what's so exciting about it, is we have a track record for success. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to build an organization at the club on the football side that will exist no matter who the manager is, no matter how far into the future we look. A setup that starts with our new academy director, Sean Kimberly, the new head of recruiting that he's hiring, and continues all the way up to what's happening in the first team. We want to create a football setup that is best in class in terms of our medical staff, athletic development of players at all levels, our coaching staff that will take players that come into the club and develop them at whatever age they join us. We want to build a setup at Bodymore Heath that is as good as anything that anyone has built. And you know, as I said, it involves starting at the academy level, but it goes all the way up to recruiting. We have a whole new scouting network that we've recently hired. We have a head of data analytics that we brought in from Opta. And it involves creating a structure that the club can own regardless of who the manager is over whatever period of time. And that's the way big, successful clubs are looking at it right now, and that's certainly where we're headed.
Aston Villa having its own DNA then?
Very much so. And having a style of play that we're committed to, and recruiting youngsters who can play that style of play, and developing kids to play that game ultimately by the time they get to the first team level. Creating a philosophy from the time that they come in to the time they play at the senior level. And that philosophy is critically important.
Looks like you're enjoying yourself.
No one has a better job in sport than I do, and I mean that. This is an incredible club, a fantastic place to work. It's got incredible fans, and I'm enjoying the challenge greatly, and it is a challenge, but I'm giving everything I've got, and there's a team of people here at Villa Park who are doing the same to get this club back to where it belongs.